You have your Bibles this morning, let me invite you to find Mark chapter 15 and verse 42. Mark chapter 15 and verse 42, and let's be thinking about this thought or this idea, our reason for living. Our reason for living. I would suggest to you this morning that for the follower of Christ, that our reason for living today is the fact of the resurrection of Jesus. That our reason for living today is the fact of the resurrection of Jesus, and also that fact of the resurrection of Jesus not only is our reason for living today, but it is our hope for living eternally. The resurrection of Christ. The last time that we encountered the Lord Jesus, he was on the cross last Sunday morning. And so that's where we are going to pick up today's story in the Gospel of Mark. And so if you have found Mark chapter 15 and verse 42, I invite you to stand this morning, if you are able, in honor of the reading of God's Word, and follow along either in your copy of the Scriptures or on the screens behind me. Now, when evening had come, because it was the preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and taking courage, went into Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate marveled that he was already dead. And summoning the centurion, he asked him if he had been dead for some time. And so when he found out from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. Then he bought fine linen, took him down and wrapped him in the linen, and he laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of the rock and rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, observed where he was laid. Verse 1 of Mark 16. Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen, and they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you." So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for the fact and the story of the empty tomb. Lord, let us today celebrate Easter, even on this Lord's Day, because Jesus being alive is our only reason for living and our only hope for living eternally. We love you and we thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It was on Friday that Jesus was on the cross. However, Jesus could not remain on the cross. Why not? Look over, if you will, in the Old Testament to Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 22 and 23. If a man has committed a sin deserving of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain overnight on the tree. But you shall surely bury him that day, so that you do not defile the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. For he who is hanged is accursed of God. Jesus, being a Jew, his family, obviously Jewish, his disciples, Jewish, he could not remain on that tree. However, who would take him down? Would it be his disciples? No, it wouldn't be his disciples, because Matthew's gospel, chapter 26 and verse 56, at the end of the verse says, "Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." So it wouldn't be the disciples. Well, what about that favorite disciple? What about that beloved John? Might it be John, the author of the Gospel of John? Well, if you look at John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27, look at his assignment during this time. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Verse 27, then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple, John, took her to his own home. So John was ministering to Jesus' family during a very difficult, unimaginable time in their life. And so who would take Jesus' body down? Who would put him in that tomb? Well, notice in Mark chapter 15, beginning in verse 42, a disciple of faith. A disciple of faith. Verse 42 says, "Now when evening had come," and more than likely this is between 3 and 4 p.m. on Friday afternoon, as Jesus' body has already been on the cross for approximately 6 hours. And we know that it was before sundown, because these things that we're about to see had to take place before the Sabbath would begin on Friday night at sundown, or Friday night approximately at 6 o'clock. Now, when evening had come, because it was the preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath, well, the preparation day? Sure. Because from sundown Friday to sundown on Saturday, no work was to be done. So things had to be done in advance. You had to prepare for the Sabbath. You had to make sure that your food was cooked before the Sabbath. You had to make sure that the animals were fed before the Sabbath. You had to make sure that other chores were done before the Sabbath. So this is the preparation day. This is leading up to Friday night at sundown, Friday night at 6 o'clock. And you even had to make sure that people were buried before the Sabbath. This disciple of faith enters the picture. Verse 43, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was a member of the Jewish religious leaders. And notice that his faith is an active faith. Verse 43, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God. His faith was active. It was looking forward to the Messiah's earthly kingdom. He was looking forward to. His faith was an active faith. It wasn't a passive faith. It wasn't a dead faith. But not only was it an active faith, it was also a courageous faith. Who himself, waiting for the kingdom of God, verse 43 says, coming and taking courage. You see, Pilate was not a fan of the Jews. You may remember that from the recent Sundays. And more than likely now, he was more upset at the Jews than he had been previously because he felt like that the Jews had forced him into executing an innocent man. And so Joseph of Arimathea, being a Jew, it took courage. It took boldness in his faith to go to Pilate and request the body of Jesus. Not only was Joseph's faith active, waiting for the kingdom of God, not only was it courageous going to see Pilate personally, but now his faith was public. John chapter 19 describes Joseph of Arimathea as well as Nicodemus as secret disciples. They were both a part of the Sanhedrin. And you know that the Sanhedrin was opposed to the Lord Jesus. Well, now that Jesus had been crucified, the secret was out. The secret was no longer. It was Joseph of Arimathea and more than likely Nicodemus as well who came to Pilate and requested Jesus' body to be taken down off of the cross and placed in that tomb. Notice in verses 44 through 46, if there was ever a question, and sometimes there is, sometimes when our world is doubting the resurrection of Christ, they don't start by trying to discredit his resurrection. They start by trying to discredit his death. Did Jesus actually die on the cross? Or was it someone else who was there in his place? Well, no, brothers and sisters, it literally was Jesus. Verse 44, Pilate confirms his death. Pilate marveled that he was already dead. Not only does Pilate confirm his death, but the Roman centurion also confirms his death. And summoning the centurion, he asked him if he had been dead for some time, verse 45. So when he found out what? That Jesus was dead. And Pilate granted the body to Joseph. Well, then Joseph also confirmed that he was dead. John's gospel tells us that Joseph took approximately 75 to 100 pounds of grave clothes and wrapped Jesus' dead body in preparation for burial. And in verse 46, they laid him in a tomb. This was a family tomb of Joseph's, never been used previously. And in order to keep out the wild animals and in order to keep out the grave robbers, this stone, a circular stone, was rolled more than likely down an incline into a track fixed right in front of the opening. And the end of Mark 15 tells us that Jesus's female disciples, they saw where he was laid. Joseph of Arimathea was a disciple of faith. Notice secondly, beginning in chapter 16, notice a deed of love. Now, when the Sabbath was past, well, when was the Sabbath over? The Sabbath was over at 6 o'clock on Saturday evening. So now, on Saturday evening, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, some of Jesus' female disciples, they bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Even with the grave clothes, Jewish culture, Jewish law did not include embalming or the chemicals that we might use today to somewhat preserve a physically dead body, to prevent the decay, at least temporarily, and to offset the odor. And so these ladies, in a deed of love, because of their love for Jesus, because of their loyalty to Jesus, in order to combat the odor, in order to combat the stench, they had bought spices on Saturday night in preparation for the next morning, when it was still early, that they might come and anoint him. Verse 2, very early in the morning on the first day of the week. This is now Sunday morning. They came to the tomb when the sun had risen. Now, can I just make this minor observation with you about that first day of the week? The first day of the week has always been Sunday. But the first day of the week didn't include worship until after the resurrection of Jesus. Previously, worship was on Saturday for the first century Jew. But then after the resurrection of Christ, in order to memorialize the resurrection of Christ, for all of history to come, the Christian church moved the day of worship from Saturday to Sunday. And here we are on Sunday morning, the first day of the week, gathering together as the body of Christ to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. Well, that began when these first century female followers of Christ went to the tomb. And while they were on their way, now remember, at the end of chapter 15, they saw where Jesus had been laid. They saw the circular stone roll down and set in place. Much easier to roll it down than to push it up. And they're wondering as they're on their way to the tomb. Verse 3, who will roll away this stone from the door of the tomb for us? Matthew's gospel tells us at that moment, a localized earthquake had dislodged that stone. And an angel or two had moved it out of the way. And keep in mind, brothers and sisters, the angels did not move the stone to let Jesus out. He was already gone. The angels moved the stone to let these women look inside and see for themselves. Verse 4, but when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side. And they were alarmed. We know that this was an angel. And we know from the other gospel accounts that there were two angels, but Mark just records the one who spoke. And like anyone else ought to be, when these ladies encountered angels, they were afraid. But he said to them, verse 6, do not be afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth. See, these ladies had come to do a deed of love. But there's one last observation that I want to share with you, and it's a directive of hope or a message of hope. Do not be afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. Watch this. Listen to this. He is risen. He is not here. Actually, a better way to translate this than the New King James Version translates it, instead of saying he is risen, a better way, a more accurate way to translate it is he has been risen. And here's the difference, brothers and sisters. If you'll remember, when Jesus was on the cross, and that temple veil was torn in two from where? The top or the bottom? The top. An outside force had an active role in tearing that temple veil from top to bottom. Again, here in the language of the New Testament, an outside force had an active role in bringing Jesus from the grave. It was our Heavenly Father who brought his son from the grave. So not that he is risen, but he has been risen. See the place where they laid him. And then here's the directive of hope, the message of hope. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you. Jesus had already told them, I am going to die, I'm going to be resurrected, and I'm going to be with you again. And the angel was now reminding them of that truth. And brothers and sisters, that's the message of hope we have today. That Jesus is alive and he is coming again. He is alive, and we will be with him again if we know him as Savior and Lord. Now, let me show you one more thing here in verse 7, and then I'll wrap up. Notice verse 7, the words of the angel, but go tell his disciples and Peter. Isn't that interesting? Remember, Mark's gospel is written from Peter's point of view. Peter told Mark what to write down. And Peter is reminding us that he's going to get a second chance. A second chance, yes. Because you'll remember, in our study of Mark's gospel, late on Thursday night into the wee hours of Friday morning, Peter denied the Lord not just once, not just twice, but three times. He failed. And what you have here in the words of this angel is the foreshadowing of Peter's restoration. That Peter's going to get a second chance. And oh, does he take advantage of it. The end of John's gospel tells us specifically about that restoration of Peter. And then we have the entire book of Acts. Peter preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and thousands of people being saved. Thousands of people being physically healed. Why? Because Peter got a second chance. Brothers and sisters, you may be here this morning in need of a second chance. You may have failed the Lord Jesus at some point, as we all have, mind you. And can I just encourage you this morning that God has a second chance for you? If you are willing to recommit your life to the will of the Lord and the way of the Lord, there is a second chance from God for you, and he can use you just like he used Peter. My encouragement to you this morning, brothers and sisters, my challenge to you this morning is to be a disciple of faith who lives out deeds of love and shares that directive or that message of hope. Do those words ring a bell for you? Faith, hope, and love? Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. And only these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. In being a disciple of faith, living out deeds of love with a directive of hope, how is it that we let that love flow through us? It cannot be verbalized any better than Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, Jesus said, you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then in the next verse, you are to love your neighbor as yourself. How do we love God? How do we love our neighbors? Sharing the gospel. You cannot have a greater deed of love than sharing that directive of hope, brothers and sisters. The very last words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 28, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, even to the end of the age. We live in a world today, brothers and sisters, where Jesus is the only hope. You can think what you want to think about coronavirus. It's a hoax, or God's going to use it to bring back his son. Either way, the only hope of the world is Jesus. You can think that our country's going to be better off with Donald Trump, or our country's going to be better off with Joe Biden, but still our only hope is the hope of Jesus. You can think our black brothers and sisters have gone too far. You can think they haven't gone far enough with their protests and their racial equality, but still the only hope is Jesus. So regardless of your opinion, regardless of your preference, our world today needs to hear the body of Christ sharing the hope of Jesus. Being a disciple of faith, doing deeds of love with the directive of hope that Jesus is alive and he is coming again soon. If you're here this morning and you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, today I want to invite you to be saved. I want to invite you to admit that you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the Bible also tells us that Jesus Christ died on the cross in our place and for our sins. And today I would invite you to believe that truth. And if God today is convicting you of your lostness and your need of a Savior, today I'm inviting you to call on the name of the Lord to save you. In just a few moments, I'm going to invite you to stand and be singing all across the auditorium. I'll be here at the front. And today, if you would receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, if today you would call on the name of the Lord to save you, I want to know about that. I want to celebrate with you. I want to counsel with you. I want to pray with you. And I'll be here standing at the front ready to welcome you. Maybe you're a guest here today, and if God is leading you to unite formally and officially with Emory Baptist Church, we'd love to welcome you. Today, if you need to follow through with believer's baptism, you're a follower of Christ, but you've never followed through in being baptized as Jesus was baptized and as his word tells us to be baptized, today we'd love to welcome you. Today, will you commit to being a disciple of faith, living out deeds of love with a directive and message of hope for a world that needs it? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me today? Again, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, after I finish praying, Brother Chris will come to lead us in a very familiar song, and we will give you the opportunity to respond publicly to God's leading in your life. If today God is convicting you that you are lost without Christ, and today He wants to save you, I would invite you to receive Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life. Again, as I mentioned a moment ago, you will be given the opportunity in just a moment to step out of one of these aisles and make your way here to the front, and I'll be more than happy to give more counsel and direction about how to do that, to celebrate with you, pray with you. If God is leading you to unite with Emory Baptist Church, we'd love to welcome you. If you know Christ and you've been baptized as a believer and after salvation and by immersion, if there's another decision that you need to share publicly, we would invite you today. Father in heaven, we're grateful and thankful that we celebrate today an empty tomb because you resurrected your Son from the grave. Father, we bless you, we praise you that the resurrection of Christ is our only reason for living and it's our only hope for living eternally. So anyone and everyone's only hope for living eternally. So today we trust you to do your work in our hearts. And I pray that we'd be faithful to follow, faithful to obey. Lord, we ask and pray all of this in Jesus' name. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? As Brother Chris comes to lead us, the Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in?